thank you so much for joining us live on Policy with a Purpose. I'm Renee Ellsbury.
And I am Indiana's own Dana Black. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. We are at the wonderful, wonderful Antelope Club live, coming to you live.
And thanks to Pabst Blue Ribbon, Sam Ash Music Stores, and Travel by Suze for allowing us to be here with you tonight.
Absolutely. So, I don't know about you. You and I are pretty much political junkies.
Just a little bit.
I mean, I know we talk about policy and its purposes and all that good stuff, but, you know, it's all about the people who we elect. And, yo, this is primary election eve, baby. I'm super excited. I'm so excited. I can't help myself.
I'm excited, too. So what does that mean, Dana? It's primary election eve. That means tomorrow at 6 a.m. If you have not gone out and done early voting. Got to make your way to the polls.
Get your polls. Now, listen, to be clear, Indiana, you have to declare your party, right? So essentially, there are two separate elections happening. There's a Republican election and a Democrat election. You don't get to vote on both sides. When you go into the primary on tomorrow morning, if you haven't done so already, they're going to ask you, what ballot do you want? You're only going to get one, either a Republican or a Democrat. If you're an independent, if you're a libertarian, and if you're a Green Party,
So here's the interesting piece. I don't care what you're registered as. Neither do they. You don't have to go with what if you registered Democrat, Independent, Libertarian, or Republican. You can take any ballot you want.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But just know, for every action, there's a reaction. So if you ever plan to run for office, be sure to pull the right party ticket.
Or roll the dice. See what you get. have a candidate that you really, really, really do not want someone as your candidate to run against next year in November.
In November? Yeah, yeah.
Then go ahead. Go the other side.
That's if you want. I am, as we know, a party girl. So I am excited about what our party looks like from the 92 county level. There are a lot of good heated primaries. But before we get started,
and there are some that I wish I could vote in.
Oh my God!
Like, because they're not in my districts, and I'm like, man, I would love that candidate, and they are going up against another really strong candidate. I need them to move.
Right. I mean, there are some races where I'm super glad I am not voting in it because I wouldn't know what to do.
I agree.
There are some races that I'm just so proud. I'm a proud blue baby. I am so proud of the races that they've run. And then there's some comical races that I've been keeping my eye out on. And it's
of this is that we don't give our primary candidates enough time to actually, you know, be known. Let our representatives know, you know, what they're standing for, who they are. So if you haven't made time to do your research and go to their web pages or their Facebook pages and see what's going on, you might really not know who these people are.
Absolutely.
Because we do a really poor job in Indiana of letting you know what's going on in the primaries.
Absolutely. Just to give you a heads up, you know, when I ran for office, I was a complete unknown from the political apparatus, from, you know, all the party leaders. I ran in the 2016 race against in District 88. But I actually started all of my campaign work like June of 2015. So I literally campaigned for over 18 months just getting my name out there, getting, you know, because you really couldn't, you could create your committees, but you really didn't have a committee. There's a whole lot of steps that are involved, but you really didn't declare your candidacy until January, February of 2016. So you only have like a 5-month window to really create an impact. And if you're in Marion County, it's a whole nother animal. And we'll talk about that tonight.
Well, and here's the other piece. If you're listening to us tonight and you are not in the state of Indiana, if you are in Ohio, West Virginia, or North Carolina, your primary is tomorrow too.
Oh, wow. There's multiple primaries tomorrow.
Yeah,
yes, I love it.
So, you know, it's not just an Indiana primary. Ohio, Indiana, West Virginia, and North Carolina are all having primary elections tomorrow. So I think you need to be paying attention, you know, if if it's not an Indiana thing, you know, tonight that's who we're going to talk about. But you need to go out and do your research if you're in the other
states. So which should we start at the top of the ticket and work our way down?
Let's start at the top.
Okay, so on the big race this year is for Senate. So we don't have a gubernatorial race. We don't have a presidential race. The hot top ticket is the Senate race.
Well, and you know, if you listen to the show, that Dana and I are constantly talking about our senators. Constantly talking. This is your congressional. You know, this is the piece that we need.
This is the legislative piece, yes.
Yeah, so this is the one that when we say, call your reps.
These are the people we're talking about. Absolutely. So on the D side, it's actually pretty quiet. On the Senate race, there's, you know, we have the incumbent who is our current Indiana Senator Joe Donnelly. He does not have a primary opponent. He's kind of sitting back, sitting easy, and so because he is sitting easy, I don't want to spend a whole lot of time talking about a non-race when there's a rather entertaining race on the other side of the ticket.
And you know, if you are saying, "Well, that's who I would have voted for," that's great. But keep in mind, in November, they'll need your vote.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you want to go in and cast a vote for him anyway, he's still on the ballot, but he doesn't have an opponent. So I don't think it does us any good to spend a lot of time talking about somebody that doesn't have a race.
No, let's talk about the other race.
Let's talk about the other race. Oh my goodness. Can we? I am so excited.
It's being called the nastiest the nation. The nastiest. Thanks to Indianapolis Star. I love that little soundbite. You know, the nastiest.
It was a throwback to 1986 and Janet Jackson. Want to be a nasty boy? Come on. I'm telling you, this race, my goodness. We're talking between Todd Rokita, Luke Messer, and Braun. What is his first name?
Mike.
Mike Braun.
Mike Braun. I just keep thinking Brawny Towels every time I hear him.
Oh, my goodness. Excuse me, y'all. Oh, I got so excited I almost choked. You know, that's what happens when you get older. You get excited. You swallow your own spit. I'm excited about this. Okay, so.
It's an interesting race to watch.
Absolutely. These guys have had multiple debates.
Mm-hmm.
And out of each one, the general consensus that I've gotten was there wasn't a lot of substance, there wasn't a lot of policy, there wasn't a lot of this is what I will do for Hoosiers while I'm in Washington. Mostly it was about I'm better than you, you better than me, but I'm better than you, but I'm most like Trump.
There has been a ton of, let's call them verbal...
Sparring,
yes. Lots of... debate and arguing. And it's very interesting because usually we don't see this in the Republican races. So it makes me wonder, you know, are they going to be level-headed? Are they going to represent us, or is this going to be an ego bout? Because that's all I've heard is ego, ego, ego.
Absolutely, but that's what you're working with. Now, let's start with Todd Rokita. Todd Rokita has unfortunately has received like the most negative public opinion, public press that I've seen from a Republican. I mean, the word on the street is Republicans don't even like Todd Rokita. I don't know. I'm not a Republican.
Well, and you know, I have some friends who we were talking about this over the weekend, and they literally said, you know, I chose to take a Republican ticket because I wanted to vote against Rokita this year.
That's how bad that guy is.
And so that says a lot. And so I was thinking, wow. And you know, it was very interesting to hear those words come out of someone that's how passionate they are.
Absolutely. And then you got Luke Messer, who is, you know, both Todd Rokita and Luke Messer have been around for a very long time.
Right.
They're both elected officials currently. Aren't they both in the House?
Mm, yes,
they're both
in the
House right now. Mm-hmm. And if I'm not mistaken, Luke Messer's wife, who lives in D.C., collects like $200,000 from the city of Fishers to be their part-time attorney.
Yes, that is accurate.
Okay. That's the same chick? Same person?
Same woman, yes.
Same woman. Okay. Mm-hmm. I've been reprimanded before about calling women chicks, and I'm like, I am a woman. I get to do that. But no, I can't do it. Sorry.
So that's one, you know, if you are a Republican and you're listening to our show and you're thinking, you know, what am I going to do? You're going to have to really go and look at what they're saying. And right. you're going to have to get past the mudslinging and past the politics of it because, you know, this is a, are they going to help you?
Absolutely.
So you've got three options. Two of them have already represented you, so you can even look at their voting record.
Absolutely,
and you can decide if it lines up, and you want them to make the jump to Senate.
So, and let's talk before we move on because we didn't mention Mike Brown. Oh. He's self-funding his campaign.
Self-funding to be the most like Trump is what all of his signs say.
All of them are, but they are all competing to be most like Trump. And
that's
I'm
what
like,
all their signs say.
That's your goal in life? I'm going to need y'all to aim higher. But that's just me. I mean, that's just me. So, you know, he's self-funding and... You know, it takes millions of dollars to run a Senate race.
I don't think any of them have gone to different demographics either. They've been shooting for the same demographics that they...
The same 36%.
Yeah, they're not reaching out to women. They're not reaching out to people of color. Nope. They're not reaching out to the lower poverty base
veterans.
Or disabilities or veterans. And so I'm really like... I'm kind of disturbed about their lack of reach. They have... the people that they want to vote for them and they don't care.
Absolutely. They haven't even talked to them. So, I mean, this whole campaign is about who is most like Trump. The level of visceral. I wrote a piece a little while back for IBJ and I talked about leadership.
Sure.
And I talked about, you know, what I thought a good leader would be and what a not so great leader looks like. And one of the reasons why I did that is because I knew we were talking about elections that are coming up. These folks are supposed to be our leaders. One of the things I mentioned was, how does that leader speak about themselves? How does that leader speak about the community that they live in or the communities that are around them? And how do they speak about their opponents? And for me, the most telling thing about a leader is how you speak about somebody you're running against. I'm sorry, these three gentlemen have, in more ways than one, made me question, gosh, if that's how you talk about people who are on your side, what are you saying about people you disagree with?
Well, and you have to remember that these people, they're going to represent you for 6 years.
Ugh.
The Senate seat is a 6-year seat. So they're going to represent you for 6 years.
Man, that's a lot of
years. And if they aren't representing you now, what are they going to do in 6 years?
Absolutely.
You know, if they beat Donnelly, because that's who they will be going up against in November, is they'll be going up against Donnelly. And so if they beat Donnelly, you know, are they going to give the voice that you need them to give? Or if they are too busy stroking their own egos here in the primaries, are they going to stroke their own egos there? And are lobbyists and moneymakers going to be able to buy them off?
And that's what you're working with. I mean, and there's not a lot of diversity, unfortunately, on either side of the Senate race. It looks like Indiana still will not send either a woman or a person of color to Washington as a senator. That's just something that's just bugging me because, you know, in the history of Indiana, we've not sent a female or a person of color to the U.S. Senate. And
I know some lovely females that would fit this bill in the future. We'll have to talk about 2020.
Right. So just, you know, that was probably the most contentious, primary, Senate primary in multiple years. These guys are, you know, all vying to be as right as they possibly can be. Where is the compromise going to come from these guys? Because you have to be able to work across the aisle. It does not sound like that they're interested in doing any of that. But these are your choices. These are who you got. This is who, you know, and you get to make, you know, a decision on who you want. And you need to dig deep. They haven't really offered, and it's funny because here we are. We aren't even talking about policies, right? This is policy with a purpose. And we're talking about three candidates, and we can't even talk about what
they
stand for.
What their purpose is.
So
and you know that we pay attention.
Absolutely. And these guys, but this is what you have to offer. This is what the Indiana Republicans are offering up. I don't know. It's almost like they it's almost like they said Indiana's red. It doesn't matter who we put in there. That's what I think.
I hope not.
Yeah, well, I hope not either.
All right, let's leave our Senates.
Yep. Where do you want to go next?
We're going to talk about U.S. representatives.
All right. District 1, does District 1 have any Republican primary opponents?
I'm pulling our primary opponents up now.
All right, District 1.
Where do I find this information out at? If I need, this is the first time I've been thinking about it, and I know I probably am going to go and vote tomorrow.
I've already voted.
Hopefully, you should have gotten your voter card in the mail to tell you where your voting location is, mm-hmm. what that looks like for you, what your time frame mm-hmm. is. Mine has been the same for years and years and years, so that's not changed. But if you've moved, that's important.
Absolutely.
You also want to make sure that you have your ID and that it is valid.
Please have your ID and make sure it is valid.
Because in the state of Indiana, you still have to have a valid ID.
Absolutely.
You want to make sure that you are confirmed, registered to vote. And you also want to make sure that if you don't have an ID, some of the license branches will stay open.
Right. So hopefully you've taken care of this already. I have actually already early voted.
That's awesome.
So
before we go, because you'll probably be busy tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I'm a precinct committee person, so I'll be taking care of my precinct. But the thing about it is this. I got to share this because I think this is incredibly important. You and I talk about policy and fairness and things of that nature.
Yes.
So the courts just ruled last week that the attempt to only have one early voting location in November was ruled unconstitutional.
I agree.
And it was all wrong. Now, when I mean one early voting location in Marion County.
Right.
So when you look at Hancock County, Hamilton County, Hendricks County, Johnson County, Shelby County, they have one polling place per every 70,000 voters, roughly.
Right.
One per 70,000. In Marion County, it was one for over 600,000 voters because the rules were that came from the state house. Every other county can do a majority rule on how many election early polling places they can have. But in Marion County, in Consolidated City, it had to be unanimous. And there was always at least one Republican on the election committee who was voting against early voting locations in Marion County. Why is this important? I know the Secretary of State didn't recognize it, and she had said it openly. Connie Lawson said that she didn't see a relationship between early voting and voter turnout. Sorry for her loss. But there is a direct correlation between the voter turnout and the ability to get to a polling place. Now, that only early polling place up until, you know, because 2008 we had three.
Right.
Indiana went blue. They was like, oh, no, we ain't doing that no more. So they went and say, yeah, they elected a black man. What's the heck? What's really going on here? It was at the city county building
mm-hmm.
where you had to go pay to park.
Right.
All the way downtown.
Yes.
How inconvenient was that?
Well, especially if you are having to work, mm-hmm. You have employment that you mm-hmm. must be at. You have, other responsibilities
Absolutely.
That you must be a part of. Or what if you are elderly and don't drive, or you are, disabled, or, there's so many challenges to be at one location for a very short term period.
And that was the most congested. And again, the polling places for the surrounding counties increased. Right. So and people don't want to make it about, partisanship. But in Republican counties, the number of polling places went up. In Democrat counties, the polling places went down. In counties where there were more diversity of non-white people, the polling places went down. You can say what you want about that. But those numbers are true. You know, the statistics are there. But a judge said, enough with the shenanigans. And they were saying, you don't have to wait until 2019 to have more early polling voting places. November.
Right.
November of 2018, there will be three early vote locations in Marion County, and that is a win.
But, there's more than that in Johnson County, and they don't have near the population.
No, of course not.
How does that make sense?
It does not.
And, here's the other thing. Up in Wabash County and Tippecanoe County, they were going to high schools and giving early voting options to high schoolers so that they didn't have to miss school and miss the opportunity. So if they were 18 and they had registered to vote, they could vote at school as an early voting. What is going on, Marion County?
It came from the state. It came from the state. It came from the majority, the supermajority at the state house that said, Marion County, you have to have unanimous decisions from your election board. The election board is made up of three people. The clerk, the county clerk, which happens to be a Democrat, one Republican and one Democrat representative, right? So if the clerk happened to been had to been a Republican, it was the same thing, right? But it was passed down that all the other counties can have a majority rule, but only in Marion County could it be unanimous. And see, those are the kind of shenanigans that people talk about when it comes to voter suppression. You can talk about your IDs and all that, but why are you... That's why I tell people, if you don't get out and vote something and you don't understand the value of the vote, then why are they working so hard to keep you from it?
Well, and I think that's something that, you know, we're going to have to address in the future. So trust me, we'll address it, but we better keep going.
We better keep going.
We got a lot of candidates to cover.
Absolutely. So, okay, District 1, where you at?
All right, let me pull this up.
District 1, because I know that we have an incumbent, the Democrats have an incumbent, I always mess up his name, that's why I have a hard time saying it.
Peter Visklosky.
I'm going to have to do better with pronouncing his name. So he is the incumbent.
Right.
So he does not have a primary opponent.
No.
So who is it? Is there any Republicans running in this district?
Well, let's double check. And everybody, you know, you have to go online. You have to go online to get this information. I'm so sorry that we don't have like a great resource for you, but it's because people are dropping out. And,
oh my God!
You know, some people they don't have income. They have incumbents, and it makes it really difficult. But so he's the incumbent. He's up against Antonio Daggett Sr. and Larry Chubb.
I don't know any of those cats.
And then on the Republican side, we've got Jeremy Belko, David Dopp, Roseanne Ivanovich, Mark Leva, John Meyer, and Nicholas Pappas. If any of you are listening and I messed up your name, I'm so sorry.
So there's a primary opponent on both sides. So I stand corrected. I did not know Peter had a primary opponent.
Yes. So there's a lot going on there.
Absolutely.
Of course, Peter, being the incumbent, he is the one that's probably got the most
opportunity to win.
And there is a libertarian that ran against him in 2016, but you know that's not happening this year.
Okay. All right. So that one's pretty packed. So there's like choices on both sides.
Yeah,
I like that.
So if you're in Congressional District 1, you got some options to make, and who you choose is going to be very valuable to you.
Absolutely. So that's a fun one. That sounds like a fun one. Okay, so District 2. Wow. This one's loaded as well. So the current incumbent is a Republican, Jackie Walorski. And she actually has a primary opponent in Mark Summe, and I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly. It's S-U-M-M-E. So there's a primary there against the incumbent. But there are six Democrats running.
Six
Democrats.
Man, the Democrats are coming out in District 2.
Ooh, baby, there's six Democrats. Douglas Carpenter, Pat Hackett, Mel Hall, Yatish Joshi, Roland Leach, and John Petroff. So let me just, I can speak on some of these, right?
Okay.
First of all, we have an Indian-born candidate in Yatish Joshi. We have Pat Hackett is an out-and-open lesbian who is running, and Mel Hall is a self-funded businessman. I do not know Douglas, I do not know Roland, and I do not know John, but I tell you what, that is diversity right there.
That is a lot of diversity in District 2. That's very interesting to see that right now and give some options. I wonder, you know, anything about the Republican candidates?
Well, Walorski's been there a long time, and I know that the folks, the Democrats up in that area are like, she's got to go. I mean, it's kind of hard when you don't actually live in that area.
It is.
You know?
And that's why, you know, we're briefly touching on it, and you know, I personally, I kind of know who the hot button people are just based on the bills that I could... I'm following, but I pay close attention to my own district.
Right. So she's been in office. Been in office. Term ends 2019. Republican Party. Okay, born 1963, and Republican member of the U.S. House. Walorski was elected by voters from Indiana's 2nd Congressional District in 2012, it looks like. She previously served in the Indiana House between 2004 and 2010, and then she won re-election. So she won re-election after being elected in 2012 and 2014 and 2016. But she's the incumbent. You can check and see how she's voted on things. She's been around a long time. She's making bank. She's doing all right for herself. But all those other candidates are available. One of the good places to go find out who people are and who is running is to go to Ballotpedia. I like that little site because you can look at all the races. You can look at all the states. You can look at, you know, candidates from Alaska if you want to. But the Indiana 2nd Congressional District, it's the Democrats now. I talked about the Republican Senate race. It's gotten pretty contentious up in the 2nd District with some of those with the between Mel Hall, Pat Hackett, and Yatish. It's those debates have been pretty intense.
Have they been mudslinging like the Republicans in Senate, or have they just been hot topicking?
They've been hot topicking, but at the same time, everybody still wants to figure out who's the most Democrat. You know, who's the most?
I don't think that matters. I want to know who's going to serve their constituents the best, who's going to look out for the people. I don't care if you want to be called a Democrat or if you want to be called a Republican. I don't believe. You know, I want to hear whether or not you have what it takes to stand up for Indiana families and Indiana people in Congress.
And I think that there's such a thin line in between them. I can tell you that they all want to preserve public education. They all are really interested in protecting our environment. They all believe in health care for all. They all believe in unions being able to organize and collective bargain. So they have a lot of the you know, tenets of the Democrat principles. Each of them have all expressed. One of the things about Yatish that I loved was that I've had great conversations with him before, and this is no knock to any of the other candidates, but he had me actually thinking about things from a different point of view. He talked about, on one of our other shows, we talked about education and what the bills look
right,
like.
Right, right.
And he talked about how we actually can fund education so that, you know, people are not going into debt without having to increase taxes. I mean, so
if that's very interesting.
He I'm not going to try to, you know, bastardize right. it and brutalize it. You know, he was real intelligent with his explanation. Those are the things that those candidates are talking about. And like I said, I've had a chance to talk to all of them, with three of the six anyway. And they're very all, you know, really close.
So it sounds like if you are in the Democratic Party up there, you've got some really hard decision making to do. So you better be doing your research tonight after you get off and stop listening to us.
Absolutely.
So we're going to move on to District 3. District 3, Jim Banks is the Republican primary incumbent. Okay. So he's not going to go through and have any issues, but the Democrat side has three candidates.
Who are they?
You have John Roberson, Tommy Schrader, and Courtney Tritch.
Wow. Okay. So I will say this: Courtney Tritch was endorsed by the state party like last year.
Okay, so they really feel like he's probably going to be the front.
Courtney. No, she's
Courtney.
Courtney. Courtney, again, she has the same. Because she ran before.
Okay.
And she lost in a primary, I think, before. The other ones, the person that beat her in the primary did really, really, really poorly in the general.
Okay.
But I do believe that Courtney has already been endorsed by the state party. And if I'm not mistaken, she might even be endorsed by Indiana Stonewall Democrats, too.
Oh, so what do you got on the 4th district?
Oh, my God. Oh, the 4th district. So, you know, I've actually been to a couple of debates at the 4th district on the Dem side. So let me read off who is running. Let me get that out. So on the D side, this thing is packed because it's Ty Rakita's seat.
Right.
Right. So you can't be on the ballot in two races.
Right. So since he's running in Senate, he can't run again as a rep.
Right. Not unless he loses the Senate primary, they can place him in.
which means that whoever wins the primary could get screwed.
Pretty much. So the on the Democrat side, you have Toby Beck, Roger Day, Roland Ellis, Darren Patrick Greasy, Joe Mackey, and Veronica Zeal.
Yeah, I've seen lots of conversations about all these candidates.
Oh, boy. Listen, not that I'm promoting any other show, but if you go on my Facebook page, there is a almost a two-hour video of the debate of the 4th District. I tried not to comment, but you can just listen to the candidates. And I'm telling you, that one is... Yo, research your candidate. That's all I'm going to tell you.
Yeah. And then are you thankful that you're not in that district?
I would have a problem voting for someone. I already know who I would vote for. The rest... not so much. But the Republicans are pretty full, too. They got Jim Baird, Steve Braun, Kevin Grant, Diego Morales, James Neese, Tim Raddatz, Jared Thomas. Hey, give it up to the Republicans. They got a Latino in there.
Mm-hmm.
But from what I understand, Diego Morales is a Pence boy.
Yep.
Pence guy. Sorry, I shouldn't be.
So there's definitely some, you know, good conversations and good voting to be had in District 4.
Absolutely. Okay, you ready to move on to the 5th?
All right, so in 5, you got your incumbent Susan Brooks
okay.
the Republican side.
Disclaimer, I live in the 5th District.
And we've talked about Susan before, and unfortunately no one wants to unseat her.
Well, no, there are people that, you mean on the Republican side?
On the Republican side.
No, they don't. But on the Democrat side, there's quite a few candidates.
There's Dee Thornton.
Yes.
There's Kyle Brendan Moore. There is Ishelle Faraghi. Am I saying that right?
That's close.
Sean Dugdale and Deion Douglas.
So, again, there's another video on my Facebook page from way back... I want to say in January, from Hamilton County, they hosted a candidate forum. There's some extra candidates that have dropped out since then.
Since then, right.
But there are quite a few good, solid candidates.
Yeah, I have been watching this closely. I'm not in this district, but it's been interesting to watch. And I definitely think there is a front runner on the Democratic side.
There is, I think so.
And I'm hopeful that we're going to see a really strong candidate to go up against Susan Brooks, because I think she needs some competition.
Well, not only that, I think the people in the 5th District get a better representative, but that's just me. I probably shouldn't have said that, but that's how I feel about it. All right, let's talk about Indiana's 7th District.
I don't know. We skipped 6.
Oh, did I skip? Oh my God. How could I? okay. Hold on. 6. I got to go 6. Go. All right. Dana. 2018.
See, she just wants to jump.
I know. Okay. All right. So this is, there's a Pence running in this district, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
There's a Mike Campbell, Jonathan Lamb, Stephen McKenzie, Greg Pence, Jeff Smith.
Older brother
Pence. So yeah, do we need another one?
Well, that is up to the candidates in District 6 to decide, and then, of course, he is your Republican candidates.
Yeah,
and he's been campaigning very strong on the Pence format,
same as his
brother.
I'm almost
wondering if he just like took the campaign information and just shared.
And this is Luke Messer's seat, so mm-hmm. It's the same thing with the 4th, where it is packed.
But in this case, I think if Luke Messer were to not get the Senate, I don't know that Pence's brother would win. I don't know that he would have an option to be the candidate.
Yeah, and the Democrat side is pretty full, too. I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time locating the Democrats. For some reason, my connection died.
Well.
And there are some great guys. I know Jim Merritt off the top of my head. What did I say? Jim Merritt. I take that back. That's a state race, and that's a Republican. Shame on me. Jim Pruitt.
Right.
Jim Pruitt and Lane Seekman, and there's another young lady that's running down there. Oh, my goodness. I want to pull this up. Come on. Where's my connection? I literally just lost.
Hold on, and I'll try to save you.
Please save me.
Lane Seekman is for the Democrat side. Sorry, George Holland, Janine Lee Lake, Kay Love, Jim Pruitt, Lane Seekman, and Joshua Williamson are the Democrat primary.
Excellent.
District 6.
And I have spoken to both Jim Pruitt and Lane Seekman early on in the race. Again, it's such a thin line between the Democrat candidates. They mm-hmm. all are really, you know, about people. They are all about how they can improve. Now, this district is a little different, though, because they have a lot of rural concerns. And I know Lane Seekman, as he's been out on the campaign trail, and Jim Pruitt have been talking about more rural issues and concerns with, you know, because they talk about the voucher program that takes away
right.
from public schools.
Exactly.
Well, they don't have any other choices.
No,
out
they,
in these rural
they
communities.
Only have public school. Right. So, and I've seen that too. And also on the Republican side, you know, we talked about Greg Pence, but Jonathan Lamb Stephen McKenzie both have been making waves down there. So I don't think it's a landslide for Pence by
I
any means
not.
On
I
the
mean,
Republican side.
No, I just think, you know, is because I've read articles about Pence.
Mm-hmm.
And the question is, what is he running for other than his name?
Well, and that's always a question, and this isn't my district, so
I can't
you
speak
know,
on it.
But I
yeah.
can't speak about what the constituents need in this district. But, you know, I'd love to hear. I'd love to hear what your concerns are. So, you know, you can always go on our Facebook page for any of the districts and say, hey, this is what I'm concerned about. You know, let it be known. Say it out there. These are what you don't have to tell me who you're voting for, but I'm voting because my topic of conversation or what I'm worried about is this. I want to know that because if there's a bill that comes up, I want to be able to respond to that. I want to say, hey, you know what? We've got District 6 out here, and this has been a big concern of theirs, and so we're going to talk about this for District 6.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, District 7. So,
this is my district.
And this is the district that we're actually recording our show in, is District 7. The incumbent is one Andre Carson, but that ballot is pretty full. He has some challenges this year. Curtis Godfrey, Bob Kern, Pierre Quincy Pullins, and Sue Spicer.
Right.
I have met all of them, but I have not interviewed any of them.
Okay.
And then the Republicans have John L. Couch, Jason Davis, Donald Eason Jr., Wayne Harmon, J.D. Minor, and Tony Van Pelt. Now, before we go further, I know you talked about earlier that you received your information in the mail on the sample ballot.
Yes, and I got a sample ballot. I got a sample ballot for the Democratic side, and we usually, at my house, we get a sample ballot for both Democrats and Republicans. And so I was very surprised that I never got anything from the Republican side.
So this particular year, there are a whole lot of new people who have come into the political fore. They are
right.
starting to learn about what it is, what the political process looks like.
Sure.
2016 woke a lot of people up, and they were like, I got to get involved. So whereas previously they may not have paid as much attention to mailers, this year the attention is being paid. And one of the things that Marion County does that other counties do not do, both Republicans and Democrats, is what they call a slating process, or Democrats change it to a pre-primary convention. And what happens in this pre-primary convention is this is where your precinct committee folks actually play a huge part in the political process. All the candidates who want to run for office, they go through the slating process, and the PCs, the precinct committee folk, actually vote on who the preferred candidate is. Now, the reason why I'm even bringing this up today is because the ballots, the advertising that was sent out caused a lot of disturbance, especially on the D side. There were folks who felt like because it was an advertisement, and the advertisement was for the preferred Democrat candidates, some of the candidates that they were wanting to vote for were not listed on this what was being called a sample ballot. So some people felt like it was disingenuous and it was somewhat confusing. Unfortunately, you know, right or wrong, I'm not going to condone one way or the other. This is kind of the mailer that's been sent out for multiple elections in the past.
Yeah, this isn't a change. Like I said, I'm used to getting them.
Yeah, yeah.
But the interesting piece I thought was, You know, as I'm looking at this, I looked at it and I said, wait a minute, I know there's more people.
Absolutely. But it was the preferred candidates, right? Now, it happened like that for every race in Marion County. Now, the slating process is only done in Marion County. It's not done all over in the other 91 counties. It is a different animal. And this is why I think it's so important that as we, you know, bring people in and say, become a part of this process, become a part of the political process, that we teach them how things work. Now, we may not always agree with how things work, but you can't change anything if you don't know what it is. Right. And unfortunately, getting upset about it after the fact, after it's been going on for 35 years, is kind of, you know, a moot point. But what you can do is get involved with the process. And if you don't like it, become a voice for change versus, oh, I think, you know, this is not right. So, you know, I wanted to bring that up today because literally for the last 2 days, there have been some. Because there's some other contentious races, like the Marion County Sheriff's race.
Right, there's the Sheriff's race, and we've got some representative races at the state level too, which we don't normally see this much response in the primaries, and we have, which is good because that means people have woken up and said, "Hey, you know what?
I need to get involved.
We need to get involved."
But I think, especially when I think of it from a party leadership point of view, we need to educate the new folks.
Candidates.
Well, not just the new candidates
and the new people,
the new voters. The people who don't understand the process, whether or not you like, I'm not advocating or not advocating the process. I'm just saying if we just teach them about the process, then it won't be such a shock to them when they get this mailer and go, well, where are all the rest of the candidates?
Well, and the interesting thing is that, you know, the representatives, just as a reminder, is they're only there for 2 years.
Two.
So they're constantly
campaigning.
And, you know, 2 years ago, Andre Carson only had two people.
Right.
Godfrey and Pullins that said, hey, I'm going to give you a run for your money. And this time we've got five.
Right.
And then, you know, on the Republican side.
It used to just be, what was her name? Kat Ping?
Kat Ping forever and ever and ever. But Menear and Harmon have run before in the past, too.
Okay. Okay. You know what? But, you know, this is one of those races, just like, you know, any other race, that they feel like District 5 is a lock for Republicans. Democrats feel like 7th is a lock for Democrats.
But not necessarily.
Exactly. It does not necessarily mean that. If you show up to the polls, you still have an impact on what happens.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Let's talk about the 8th.
All right. So in the 8th, we have a Democrat incumbent. He doesn't have anyone. He's going completely unopposed.
William Tenous. Mm-hmm. I've met him. First of all, can I just say he's kind of dreamy? Is it all right if I say that?
As long as that's not why you're voting for
him.
Because you don't live in that district.
I don't live in that district.
So, okay. As long as everybody who's listening doesn't vote because he's dreamy.
Well, I'm a lesbian. And if I think a guy is dreamy, he must be awfully dang dreamy.
I guess. I'm going to have to look him up.
But anyway, he's a really great guy. I've been watching him work. I was with him in Evansville a couple weeks ago. He spoke to the Indiana Democratic African American Caucus. So he's reaching across the lines and he's talking to people.
And that's always nice to see.
Yep, yep. So the Republicans are, the incumbent is Larry Bouchon. Now, I do like saying his name. That's a fun name. Bouchon.
And then Rachel Covington and Richard Moss.
All right. So that rounds out. I don't know anything about those guys.
I haven't heard. But you know what? That is, that's, you know, Clay, Davies, Dubois, Gibson, Green, Knox, Martin, Owen, Park, Perry, Vanderburg, Vermillion, Vigo counties. Those are further away. But again, if you're out there and you're in the 8th district and we're not talking about topics that concern you, you need to let us know because we want to make sure that we're covering things that aren't just a District 7 issue or a District 5 issue. Mm-hmm. We want to make sure we're covering all of our districts.
And a couple things before we switch over to District 9. Mm-hmm. District 8, District 8 also is where all of super polluters live. There's four super polluters in the state of Indiana, and all four of them are in District 8. So that's something to consider. And I learned, this is more trivia than anything else, I learned that Evansville is not considered Southern Indiana. It is, if you talk to people in Jeffersonville, they will tell you that Evansville, which is on the border,
right,
is not Southern Indiana. It's considered East Indiana.
Well, and we've had a lot of flooding in that area, so absolutely. It's going to be very interesting to see if there's going to be some issues there because people can't get to their voting, and if they absolutely. Were unable to vote in early primaries, they're not able to mail in it because all this has happened very recently, whether or not that's going to impact these races down there because people cannot vote.
Absolutely. So District 8 is it's also one of those cancer pockets. And so the health concerns of District 8 are, for me, incredibly powerful, and why I, you know, work hard to improve lives of 92 counties, because, you know, I don't go down there very often, but there are a lot of people who are struggling down there, mostly because of environmental issues. So, all right. And to me, the most compelling Democrat primary of all the primaries, of all nine, is District 9.
Well, and you know, I'm going to be honest, I'm paying really close to District 9 too, because I literally live right in between the line.
I know you do,
between
right?
7 and 9.
Oh my goodness.
I have lots and lots of family and friends that are in 9. And so, and you know, there's a lot of outreach, you know, that goes out Scott County. There's a lot of stuff going on down in
absolutely,
Scott County right
absolutely.
Now that has my attention, and so I'm paying close attention to what's going on in District 9.
So District 9, the incumbent is, as we call him on the D side, Tennessee Trey Hollingsworth. Tennessee Trey moved
Tennessee
here
Trey.
2 years ago, and his father helped him purchase. I mean. Ooh, I shouldn't say that. His father helped him win this election.
Well, and this
he
is
was
a
self-funded.
This is a rural county area too.
Absolutely,
these are rural areas. And so a lot of times, you know, agriculture is a big topic of discussion. Jobs is a big topic of discussion. But lately in these counties, we've seen a rise in drug problems.
Absolutely.
And so we need to discuss that, too.
So really, Trey Hollingsworth has not ever really lived in Indiana for about a year, maybe, because now he lives in Washington. So he came from Tennessee, ran, you know, for a bit. He met the minimum requirements of residency, ran for a House rep, and he was self-funded, well-funded, and he won. He does have a primary opponent in James Dean Alspach. That's Alspach. So I'm not real sure, but honestly, the real coup de grace and the coup de grace of congressional races is that Democrat primary, where you have Dan Cannon, Rob Chutlos, and Liz Watson. Wow. Can I talk about star power on that Democrat
again,
side?
Again, this is one of those districts where I'm like, I would love to see the whoever doesn't win this primary, you know, move.
Absolutely. Now Rob Chatlos is the only one that I have not actually had the chance to speak to personally, but I've heard nothing but really positive things about him. But I interviewed both Dan Cannon and Liz Watson last year when the other radio show that I do was fledgling, and I was just begging people to come on.
Right, right.
And they both blew me away. One, Nuvo wrote a great article about the two of them, and they basically said, if you are saying all of this is bullshit, then you vote for Dan Cannon. If you say all of this is ridiculous, then you vote for Liz Watson. I mean, it is just that.
Well, and they are very similar as
oh my
to
God.
Where they align and what they're passionate about. So I think it is really important to be paying attention right now and saying,
absolutely.
You know, how do I want my voice to be heard? Do I want it heard with a powerful punch, or do I want them sneaking in underneath and going boom?
Exactly. So, and both of them, I mean, Dan Cannon is a civil rights attorney.
Right.
He's
right.
been fighting for civil rights for a long time. Liz Watson is a labor attorney. She's helped write policy for the minimum wage increase to $15. I'm telling you, this race has reached national scale.
Congratulations, District 9.
Yes, this race has, well, you know, Bloomington. Bloomington is in District 9. So
absolutely.
There's intelligent
this is
folks,
Morgan,
Brown County,
Morgan
Monroe
County.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all that. I mean, I tell you what, you guys are so fortunate to have just amazing. Quick story, and I know that we're kind of sitting on this one for a minute. I was in Bloomington for the Bloomington Pride. as Indiana Stonewall Democrats. And we have a booth set up and we try to register voters.
Right.
And I was kind of by myself because it was some other stuff going on and I didn't have a whole lot of help. But volunteers from both Dan Cannon's committee and Liz Watson's committee made sure that my booth was manned all the time so I could go do, you know, humanly function things, right? And I'm telling you, just, God, I'm so proud to know that there are three amazing candidates. And then if you go online, if you go on their Facebook pages, the three of them did a karaoke night. Can you imagine Luke Messer, Tyra Keita, and Mike Braun doing a karaoke together?
No, I can't.
These three Democrats got on the stage and sang Lean On Me, When You're Not Strong, I'll Be There. You know what I'm saying? I'm just super excited about those Democrats down there. Okay, I'm done. I'm done swooning.
You're done swooning.
All right, man. We only got through the Senate and the congressional races, and we only have about 10 minutes left.
I know. We don't have the time to get through all of the state.
Absolutely not. So are there any, like, hot races that you want to hit on before we go?
Well, I just want to remind people that if you're looking at an incumbent and if you're looking at the state races, the majority of the incumbents are Republicans. And so, you know, you can go and see exactly, you know,
what they voted, their
voting record was. If there anything that, you know, you felt strongly about and they're not lining up with you, you know, it's pretty simple, honestly. And in the state Senate, half of the candidates.
Yep.
Are switching over.
Right.
You know, so half of the state Senate. So what's going on in the state Senate last year could be totally different. It has
Absolutely.
The potential come November to make that happen. So in the primaries, a lot of the incumbents, of course, don't have anybody, you know, going up against them.
Right.
A couple of them do, just a handful. Mike Delf, who we've talked about quite a bit, has Corey Meyer going up against as a Republican, James Merritt Jr., who we've talked about quite a bit.
Go back to Delf, because I got to give a plug.
29
out to
for J.D. Ford.
J.D. Ford is working hard to be one of the first LGBT openly elected candidates, because there's some that are in the closet, but the open LGBT candidates to be elected. This is his second go around with Mike Delf, and he has already been endorsed by Indiana Stonewall Democrats.
Well, and some things that really concern me is that there are several districts where there are no Democratic primary options
at the state Senate.
And so if you are in District 14, you don't have any options. And unfortunately, you're going up against one of my least favorite people in the world.
Who is that?
Dennis Cruz.
I'll make sure I work on that next time.
If you're in 19, you don't have anybody. If you're in 23, you don't have anybody. And again, your incumbent is Phil Boots. So he's a guaranteed win because he's not going to have anybody against him come November.
Oh, this hurts
Those are some things that bother me. And so I encourage you, you know, if you have any desire to represent or you have a voice that you believe represents the people around you in your neighborhood, you can go out there. The Republicans don't have that problem. They have someone covering every single district, but the Democrats are struggling in several different areas. 48 going up against Mark Mesmer, not even trying.
Well, but you have to remember now, there's a 41-9 supermajority. There's only 9 Democratic incumbents. And the way that our districts are gerrymandered, some people are.
I understand that.
And it takes a lot. I mean, I was hoping and praying that we'd fill every slot. Unfortunately, I can't move. And there's already somebody running against the incumbent in my area. I think it's 31,
mm-hmm.
Jim Merritt. So we got Derek Camp. Derek Camp who is the president of IYD, Indiana Young Democrats. He's a young attorney, very bright. He's already been endorsed by the mayor of the city of Indianapolis, Joe Hogsett. So there's some strong candidates. Those candidates that are running are very strong on the D side.
The other side of this story is Indiana House of Representatives. These people swap every 2 years. The Republican side has a lot of people not filling the slate.
Okay.
On the Indiana House of Representatives, the Republican side has a lot of people not filling the slate, and the Democrats came out strong.
All right.
State rep.
All right. I know Hamilton County, which typically is considered a Republican stronghold, has filled a Democrat for every one of their slots. So congratulations, Hamilton County, for showing up.
Yeah. So districts 1, 2, and 3 on the Republican side have no one in their primaries for Indiana House of Rep. And Democrats have some interesting choices. And actually, in District 2, you got three options. You got Earl Harris Jr., who's the incumbent, Jason Reeves, and Rosa Rose.
And I just met Rosa this weekend. Earl is obviously the incumbent. I've met him before, but I met Rose. She's a UAW woman, and she is essentially the Rosie the Riveter for real.
District 9, you've got three options on the Democrat side and just one on the Republican. On the Democrat side, you've got Patricia Boyd, Sean Fitzpatrick, and Dwayne Perry.
All right.
You've got a few that slots 20, 21, and 22. There's no Republican options. There's just incumbents on the Republican side.
But you have to remember, there's a 70-30 split in the House. So,
right.
You know, some of the way these districts may be drawn, they may feel like, you know, don't even try.
Yeah. And I understand that, but we've always want to make sure that people
get have
their
a
voice
choice.
Out. Yep. Now, in District 43...
Who's 43?
District 43, we have 5 Democrats running and 2 Republicans in the primary. So District 43, we've got Mark Byrd, Sylvester Edwards, Norman Loudermilk II, Chad Overton, and Tanya Pfaff on District 43's Democrat side. And on the Republican side, we've got Isaac Deal and Daryl Felling. So people in District 43, your state representatives are running hot. So something must be going out there
in
43.
Did somebody retire?
I don't know.
Is there an incumbent listed?
There's not an incumbent.
We must have had a retire. So we've got a hot race out there on District 43.
As I'm flipping through here, then we go to District 59. No incumbent in District 59. Democrats have Dale Nolan and Mary Cohen. The Republican side have thrown out 6 candidates.
Oh, my goodness.
Benjamin Chastain, John Chancellor, Joanne Flohr, Ryan Lauer, Alan Smith II, and Lou Wilson. So this is, you know, District 59 is going to be a hot state rep conversation.
Yes.
64, we don't have any Democrats. We have 3 Republicans. 69, we've got 3 Republicans going up against the incumbent, which should be very interesting.
Who's the incumbent?
Jim Lucas. So we've got other people on the Republican side saying, I'm tired of you.
Okay. Jim Lucas is the incumbent Republican, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm glad that there are people challenging him. Isn't he the same guy that came up with the no permit gun?
Yes. District 88.
Hello. Come on. Poonam Gill, baby. Poonam Gill is the Democrat.
Poonam Gill is the Democrat. Brian Bosma is the incumbent. Both of them are unopposed.
A House Speaker is... So this is someone who... Listen, this is my 2016 race. I'm super proud of Poonam stepping up. Folks asked me several times if I was going to run again against Brian Bosma. Listen, my job was to put a hole in the door. Poonam's going to kick it all the way in, and she's going to win that... She's going to work hard to win that seat.
And then mine, David Frizzell is the incumbent. I've talked about him in the past. He's going up against Greg Raffnow,
which is my little brother, I'm telling
and
you.
And I'm telling you, he ran 2 years ago.
Yes, he did.
It was so close. I'm giving a shout out to him. I hope he has a really good opportunity this year.
Running,
I'd love to see him make
he's
some waves.
Running, he is running again. He hasn't stopped fighting for the people of the state of Indiana. He is putting in the work. He knows he has an uphill battle, but he has a team behind him. Greg Raffnow, a young politician. Yes.
And I truly believe he'll listen to me. And when I send him something, I truly believe that he will respond to me because David Frizzell has not responded one time.
Okay. But Greg Raffnow is a good guy. I adore him to death. He's like a little brother I wish I always had.
And then districts 94 through 100, there are no Republican candidates for state
that's
rep.
Marion County.
So I'm sorry we didn't get a chance to an opportunity to discuss with you that, you know, the other races, but you can go
like
on
that
Ballotpedia.
Like Marion County Sheriff race.
Yep, you can go on Ballotpedia. We'll talk, yeah. Well, there's a hot race in Johnson County Sheriff,
oh,
too.
Boy.
So there's some, woo, yeah. Anyway, so sheriff races are really hot. I'm sorry we didn't get to talk about that.
Those boys with guns and badges, boy, they serious about their business.
That's right. But I want to thank you for listening to us live tonight.
Live.
Policy with a Purpose.
Pre-primary night. Go out and get your vote on tomorrow.
Make sure, six to six, baby.
It is your right. It is something that everyone has fought to earn, that people have died to earn it. Do not take it for granted. Get to your polling places from 6 to 6. If you need a ride, let people know. Reach out to your county party. If you need help with getting to where you need to be, inbox us on Policy with a Purpose, and we'll make sure that we get you connected to how you can get to a polling place if you need some assistance. But listen, I love talking about politics. I'm super excited about it being
Me
primary.
Too.
Renee Ellsbury, do you realize how fantastic you are?
Oh, well, thank you, David Blackie.
Girl.
I love you. Thank you so much for listening to Policy with a Purpose.